Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word. Thank you for your message. And Lord, we just ask that you would get me out of the way and speak to us. Lord, we need to hear from you. And Lord, as we do, make our hearts receptive and ready. And Lord, help us to hear what you tell us and put it into practice and go and do it. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, what kind of offerings will you bring in 2014? Here in this new year, we mentioned it a little bit earlier. Offerings can be anything, a little snack made for somebody, offered to them. But what kind of offerings will you bring to the Lord, to God? What kind of offerings will you bring to Him in 2014. Sometimes we just think of offerings as we imagine. We think back in the Old Testament, we just think about the lambs or the bulls that were brought, and those definitely were offerings to the Lord. There were burnt offerings and all kinds of offerings to the Lord, grain offerings. But really, if you think about it, whatever you do for Him here today is an offering to the Lord. Whatever you do for Him or give to Him or whatever you lift up to Him, whether it's some thoughts or your actions or your words, you can have an offering of praise to the Lord. He loves that. He inhabits the praises of His people. When you just praise Him, when you begin to praise the Lord, you know God is right there. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. He indwells your praises. But we can offer anything to the Lord. Whatever you do for Him is an offering to the Lord. Well, let's look at a couple of offerings in our Old Testament reading here recently in the His Word for You. You'll notice in your worship bulletin there's a little area in the middle called His Word for You. And that's just food for you. If you want to go through this whole year, that's just a scripture reading plan that'll just take you through this whole year of going all through the scripture. Matter of fact, you do a little more than the whole Bible. You do the Psalms a little more and that type of thing. But right here at the beginning of the year, if you've never read through the whole of God's Word, you may want to go ahead and do that so that you are ingesting all of God's Word, not just parts of it. But this came recently from some of those readings. Look at Genesis chapter 4. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you in the chair. And Genesis is the first book. You just turn a few pages in the Bible and you'll see Genesis. Look at chapter 4. And let's look at a couple of different kinds of offerings that were brought to the Lord as we look at what kind of offerings you and I will bring here in 2014. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. It says this: Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. We see a couple of different offerings made there to the Lord. What kind of offerings will you bring to the Lord in 2014? Well, let's learn from these two offerings. One brought from Cain and another offering brought by Abel, these two brothers. Let's learn from their offerings. First of all, let's notice that Cain brought some of the fruits of the land to the Lord. And that's our first point here this morning. In 2014, when you examine what kind of offerings you're going to bring in 2014, first question to ask is, will you bring some to the Lord? That's what Cain did. Will you bring some to the Lord? We see it in the second part of verse 2 and then also in verse 3. It said this, "Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil." So they just did two different things. They had two different sources of income. And for Cain, it was working the soil. It was the crops, the fruit of the soil. And it says in verse 3, "In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord." Cain brought some of the fruits of the land as an offering to the Lord. But look at the contrast here in verse 4. It says, "But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock." Two different offerings. Cain brought some of the crops of the land. He had his resources, he had his income, he had all the crops he had gathered in, and the Bible just says he brought some of them to the Lord. I guess he got some of them and he gave some of them to the Lord. He brought some to the Lord. Whereas Abel, it sounds like, was a lot more thoughtful and calculated and desiring to give the Lord his best. Give the Lord his all. And it says Abel brought fat portions. He's bringing the best. Abel brought fat portions. He had a different occupation. He worked with animals. The other one worked with land. It's not the type of income. That doesn't matter. God's looking at the heart here. And you see, Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Abel gave some thought to it and some planning and some trying to figure out what his best was that he had to offer. And then he got his best together, the best that he could give, because that's how much he loved the Lord. I guess you can look at this and you can see, how do they each love the Lord? Who loves the Lord more? Is it the one who just gives some? Just tries to find out, well, where's the line? You know, how far can I go, Lord? And hold back as much as I can. And what would you be happy with, Lord? Well, what's my sum? What could I just give you in my life? My time, my talents, my treasures. Lord, what would you just be happy with? I just want to go that far. You know, let me just give you some. One person's love for the Lord was like that. Let me just give you some, Lord. Just enough to please you where you say, you're okay. Let me just give you some. But then the other person really loved the Lord. Really took the time to say, man, I love the Lord so much. Man, what can I do? Let me assess all this. Where's my best? Let me get this together. How could I just make him the happiest I could possibly make him? I guess I could take this and this and gather all this up together, get those fat portions. I can pick out my firstborn. I can take those and I can say, Lord, I love you. Here you go. Two different types of offerings here. And so the first thing you and I need to consider here in 2014, when you're thinking about what kind of offerings are you going to bring to the Lord in 2014, first of all, you need to ask yourself, will I bring some to the Lord? Am I going to be like Cain? Will I bring some to the Lord? And you can ask yourself right now, Lord, what am I doing right now? What have I been doing? Lord, have I been giving you some of my time and my talents and my treasures and my resources and my finances and my service? And have I been giving you some? Or Lord, have I been giving you my calculated, thoughtful, loving best in every area, in everything? Well, it depends on how much you love Him, how much you want to express that love to Him. And so here in 2014, will you bring some to the Lord? What does that look like? Well, it looks like Cain, maybe some of your time. Just kind of think through it. Maybe ask the Lord right now. Just pause for a moment. Just bow your head for a moment and ask Him, Lord, will you show me so far how I've been giving to you? Lord, what are my offerings like to you? Show me, Lord, this morning. Are my offerings pleasing to you? Lord, am I giving you some? Or Lord, am I giving you my best because of my love for you? Lord, show each of us what we're doing. And show us how to do what you desire, Lord, what would bring you the most honor and pleasure and glory, what would put a smile on your face. Show us how to do it now, Lord. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So are you bringing some to the Lord? Will you bring some to the Lord? I guess it would look like time. You think about time, talents, and treasures. That's kind of who you are, what you've got to offer. Let's look at your time first. What would it look like to bring some to the Lord? Time with the Lord. Well, one-on-one time with the Lord. Well, if you give Him some, I don't know, you'd have to think with me, what would that look like? Well, maybe not really having a set time to give to the Lord. Maybe it's just kind of being haphazard, being like, well, I'll read the Bible whenever I think about it, whenever I get a chance. That'd be giving Him some. That one-on-one time with Him, you know, I'll see if I have enough time in the morning. Maybe I will. But then before I know it, oh man, I'm waking up too late. Got to head off to work. Well, maybe giving Him some time. Maybe it looks like, well, I'll pray in the car and I'll turn on Faith Radio and I'll listen and I'll hear His word on the way to work or school or whatever. And I'll pray. I'll pray some on the way to school. Maybe that's what it looks like, to give Him some of your time, your one-on-one time. To give Him some of your time, maybe here in worship with the fellowship of His people and His believers. What does that look like, to give Him some? Well, maybe it's to be like, well, I'll go to church, you know, whenever I can, whenever I feel like it, whenever I can get up in the morning. If I'm not too tired, I'll go and I'll worship Him and I'll give Him that time and I'll be with some of His people. Maybe, you know, I'll try to make it every week. It might be once every couple of weeks or might be once a month. I'm trying. That's what it might look like to give Him some of your time. And what about your talents and your abilities? What does it look like to give Him some? Maybe you think in terms of my talents, my abilities, my spiritual gifts. Yeah, I'll use them whenever I can for the Lord. If an opportunity arises, I'll use them. Maybe that would be giving Him some. Maybe it would look like using all of your talents that He's entrusted to you, and all your gifts and your passions and your heart. Maybe it would look like just using it all in a secular way. Not really any for Him, for His kingdom, but, you know, making a living, getting a paycheck, supporting the family. Maybe it could look like that. Using your talents and your abilities and your passions and your experiences for yourself, or maybe for some others, but not really for Him. Maybe that's what it looks like to give Him some of your talents, or maybe he's given you some abilities in a job and you work that job. Well, maybe to give him some is to really just work for your boss, not really work for him. Kind of pay attention to what's my job description, what am I supposed to do? If it's school, maybe it's just focusing on these assignments, what am I supposed to get done? I'll do all this, and never really having a thought to the Lord, but using those abilities and just not for him, not thoughtful, not calculated, not using it all for him, but using it otherwise. What does it look like? Will you give him some time, talents, treasures, your resources? Will you give some to the Lord? I'm gonna give a check to the church whenever I can. Every now and then, I'm gonna, pay all my bills and make sure everything's paid, and then I'm gonna, hopefully I'll have, a little bit left, and I'll try to give as much as I can to the Lord after that. And maybe that's what it looks like to give some to the Lord instead of a thoughtful, calculated best to the Lord. Your time, your talents, your treasures, your resources. Will you bring some to the Lord? As you bring offerings in 2014, will you bring some to the Lord? That's one option. Or will you bring your best to the Lord? What we see in verse 4. Will you bring your best to the Lord? But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Or will you bring your best to the Lord? What does that look like? Time. All right, that one-on-one time with the Lord. Well, if I want to bring my best time to the Lord, I guess I'm going to think, Lord, you know what? I know we should have this one-on-one time, so I'm going to give it some thought, a calculated thought. I want to give you the most of my love. So, Lord, I'm going to set a time. I'm going to plan a time. We're going to have a date together, and it's going to be often, and it's going to be at this time, and it'll be here. Maybe I'm going to wake up. I want to spend this amount of time with you. Just total alone time, no distractions, you and I. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and do it. So I guess, Lord, I'm going to plan it out. I'm going to give you the best of my time. I'm going to give you my first, my best. Maybe that's what it would look like. One-on-one time. Time with Him. Lord, I'm going to go to church, Lord, as much as possible when that door's open. Lord, I'm going to go ahead and decide that, I regularly worship and I'm a part of my group of 12, so to speak, and I'm committed and I'm coming as much as possible. I'm going to spend time with them, that one-on-one time, that time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Will you bring your best, your time, your talents? Well, Lord, I'm going to work my job. I'm going to do everything as if I'm doing it for you, as you tell me to in your word, not my boss or anybody else or my family. I'm going to work as if I'm working for you, Lord. It's going to be a gift to you. I'm going to give it all to you. Maybe you'll come bringing your best, your calculated, thoughtful, loving best to the Lord of your time, your talents, your abilities, your treasures. Maybe you're actually going to think about your finances and be like, Lord, I'm going to give you the first, my first and my best. I'm sure she would never want me to share it with you, but Miss Hazel Compton just recently passed away, and we'll be having her service after a while. And I was talking with Jane, her niece, and Jane told me that, the first check that Hazel would write every month out of her checkbook was to the Lord. It was her tithe. She gave her first. She thought about her finances, and she thought at the first of the month, I'm going to give my tithe to the Lord, what is His. I'm going to write off the top, the firstborn, so to speak, the best. I'm going to make sure that's to the Lord. First check she writes, it doesn't say, I'm going to pay all my bills first and make sure my family's taken care of, everybody's taken care of, and then if I got something, I'm going to give some to the Lord too. No. She gave her calculated, thoughtful first and best out of her love for the Lord. your time, your talents, your treasures, your resources. I'm going to give my best to you today. You know, your job becomes worship. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. Your job, your school becomes worship if you do it for the Lord. Not for yourself or anybody else, but you listen and you pay attention and you take those notes and you turn in that paper and you do all those things for Him as if He's your teacher, as if He's your boss. But then it becomes worship. You're giving the Lord your best. You're giving offerings to Him. So, in here in 2014, what kind of offerings will you bring in 2014? Will you bring some to the Lord? Or will you bring your best? Or will you bring your thoughtful, calculated, loving, straight from the heart best to the Lord in everything? Well, as you think about those two options and what kind of offerings you're going to bring to the Lord here in 2014, let me pull out a little bit more here in the text to help you with this decision of whether you're going to give some to the Lord with your offerings or you're going to give your best to the Lord. We notice a few more things. First of all, heed the warnings of some. When you're making this decision of which one you're going to choose, heed the warnings of some. If you're thinking about giving some to the Lord, okay, look at some of these warnings before you decide to do that, before you decide not to give Him your best and your all. Look at some of the warnings of some. Okay, look at verses 5 through 7. But on Cain and his offering, the Lord looked with favor on Abraham and his offering. But on Cain, Cain's the one who gave some. But on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." So please, before you decide to make your offerings to the Lord this year, before you decide to give some to the Lord instead of all and your best, please heed a few of these warnings here that he just mentioned there. That warning number one, the Lord is not pleased with some. Don't fool yourself. Don't think, I'm giving the Lord some of my time. I've come to church sometimes. I'm giving Him some of my talents. I'm giving Him some money. The Lord is not pleased with some. Don't fool yourself. Don't think, I've given some. You've got to be a little bit happy. Heed that warning, first of all. The Lord is not pleased with some. Heed this next warning. The Lord says, do right. And he's basically saying, it is wrong to do some. It's wrong to do some. And the Lord is encouraging us here, do right. It's wrong to do some. That's what we see there. Look at it. Verses 5 through 7. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, the Lord is encouraging him and us, do what is right. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching. So he's telling him and he's telling us, if you do what is right, your offering will be great to the Lord. To do some is not right. Heed that warning. And so to do some is to do wrong. And then if you do wrong, what's next? Sin is crouching. Heed that one. There's your third warning. If you're thinking about doing some this year in your offerings, heed this third warning. If you do wrong, which is to do some, if you decide to do some this year, and that's wrong, sin is crouching. Whoa. Watch out. That's what he's telling him. If you do what is right, that's okay, do what is right. Give your all, give your best. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, that is to do some, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. So if you just do some, you choose to do wrong, and then sin is crouching at your door. And you know, the Hebrew word here for crouching is the same as the ancient Babylonian word that described an evil demon at a door of a building waiting for the people to give some type of entrance where this evil demon could pounce in there and take them. God says if you do some, if you choose to do wrong and you do some, that evil demon is right there. You're getting close to the edge. That evil demon is ready to pounce on you. If you do wrong, sin is crouching. So if you choose to do some, you've got this evil demon just beyond a door there. That's the only thing that's protecting you. You've got this evil demon ready to pounce on you. So you've got to be super, super careful if you're deciding to do some in your offerings to the Lord this year and what you do for the Lord. You've got this evil demon crouching here. And then he says, you must master it. You must master that demon, right? That little bitty door separating the two of y'all. You must master it. Well, how do you do that? Well, do what is right. It's simple. Give the Lord your best. Love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Give Him your all. In view of His mercy, understand how much He's... If you don't feel like you have enough love for Him, you just haven't understood how much He loves you yet. So get loved by Him. Spend some time alone with Him and in His Word and begin to absorb and soak in how much He loves you and what He's done for you and how He's given His life for you, how He shed His blood and He suffered and He died for you to give you all, to give you everything. And get loved. And when you understand His love and you know His love more and more, you're going to want to give love to Him more and more. And you'll do what is right. You're going to want to you're going to want to give Him your best, your all, because you love Him. And you're not going to be happy with some anymore. What displeases Him. You'll want to give Him your all. And so heed the warnings of some. The Lord is not pleased with it. Do right. It is wrong to do some. If you do wrong, if you do some, remember sin is crouching right there, ready to pounce on you, and you must master it. Well, good luck if you're doing some. It's going to be hard to master. Why don't you just do what is right? Give your all, and then sin is not crouching there at your door. Then it's, you can open your door, and you have beautiful fields and sunsets and rises and no evil demon right there. And here's another warning. If you're considering the two, what kind of offering will you bring here in 2014? Will you bring some to the Lord or will you bring your best? When you're considering those two options all year and you're making your decisions, what you're going to give to the Lord, some or your best. Okay, heed the warnings of some. And then also, don't start the progression of sin. When you do some, you start the progression of sin. Don't start that progression of sin. Look at verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, he didn't heed the Lord's warning here. Okay, the evil demon was waiting right there at his door, and that's the first step. There's a progression to sin, and you can get more and more into it, and you can start out by doing some. Well, that's what happened. God warned him about it. Verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out into the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. That's an example of the progression of sin. He started with just some, giving some to the Lord. And now he's killed his brother. It leads to sin. God gives us more warnings about the progression of sin. Listen to this. Look at James chapter 1. If you can turn over fast enough. If you can't, you can just listen. But listen to James. Write it down maybe if you can't turn there. James 1, verse 13. Here's how sin goes. Here's how the progression goes. If you choose to give some. When tempted, maybe tempted to give some. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. There's a progression of sin. First, you're just tempted. And then you grab hold of it. You fall to the temptation. You think, oh, it's not going to hurt anything. It's just a little bit of sin. It's just some. It's not going to hurt anything. But then you give the devil a foothold. As soon as you go that way, instead of resisting the devil and fleeing from him and turning, submitting to the Lord and fleeing from the devil, as soon as you go that way and you say, well, it's just a little bit. A little sin won't hurt me. I can ask for forgiveness. Or whatever you say when you're tempted, you see that temptation. If you give into it, it's just a progression of sin. And it gets harder and harder to resist it. The more and more, if you look at it, you're going to be tempted more and more. If you think about it, you're going to be tempted more and more. And pretty soon you're going to take it. And when you take it, so you've got the temptation, and then that leads to desire, your evil desires. You have a sinful nature. Don't play with it. You've got these evil desires, and then you're tempted. That leads to desire. And then the desire drags you away and entices you. And then after the desire has conceived, the progression goes on and on. Then desire gives birth. Then the desire conceives and it gives birth to sin. And then you actually sin. And then he went out and killed his brother. He had that desire. He went out and killed his brother. And so you sin. And then sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And then sin will keep growing and growing and growing. And eventually it leads to death. So watch out for that progression of giving some. So when you think about those offerings, will you bring some to the Lord? Will you bring your best to the Lord? Heed the warnings of some. And then don't start the progression of sin. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't follow that progression that we just read about, James chapter 1. You see, you get close to the edge when the sin is crouching there and you give some and the sin is crouching and then you're tempted. You get too close to the edge. Ron Hutchcraft recently shared about how he used to love to be on family trips and they'd be in the mountains or something. And he used to love to be the one that would go out and get real close to the edge of the cliff and just kind of look off. And his wife would say, "You know, Ron, what are you doing? You've got children, you have grandchildren, please get back here." And then he was at this certain area looking over this cliff and he started hearing about the different people that who had fallen off of there. They got too close to the edge. So he started to, I think he started to back off a little bit. But don't do that with giving some. That's the first step. Don't do that with sin, with temptation. Don't see how close you can get to the edge without sinning. How close can you get to the edge before you sin? And you say, well, I'm not going to sin, but how close can I get? Don't do that. You see, it's much better, and Ron Hutchcraft's point was, it's much better to over-obey the Lord. If there's a gray area and you're not sure and you're saying, well, this might be sin, I'm not sure, but I really like it, I'm going to keep doing it until I know it's sin, or, you know, whatever. Get far away from the edge. Ron Hutchcraft was encouraging us to over-obey. It's much better to, if you have a gray area, go ahead and err on the side of obeying the Lord too much. You can't go wrong with that. Than getting too close to the edge. So don't start that progression of sin. And then finally, see, when you do, when you give some, and then you start the progression of sin, finally, you'll be held accountable. You'll be held accountable. And that's what we see in verses 9 through 12. Cain is held accountable. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. It goes on. He is held accountable. And so here in 2014, what kind of offerings will you bring the Lord? Will you bring Him some? Will you bring some to the Lord? Or will you bring your calculated, thoughtful best and your all, your love? You're loving best to the Lord. Well, while you're deciding, when you're making that decision, heed the warnings of some. Don't start the progression of sin, or you'll be held accountable. Let's pray together. Father, we just ask that you'd help us. Lord, we love you. And so, Lord, we want to make offerings to you all year, Lord. Right now, every moment we're making offerings to you. Every moment is a moment that we can be giving you something or doing something for you. Every moment. So, Lord, our lives in 2014 can be a continuous stream of offerings. Lord, may they be offerings where we're giving you our best, our calculated, thoughtful, loving, all and best. Lord, help each of us to turn away from and to repent right now and to say, Lord, have mercy on me for bringing some, Lord. I turn away from that, and Lord, I want every offering I bring to you. Right now, I'm giving you an offering of worship. May I not give you some of my heart? May I not be halfway paying attention, thinking about what's going on next or how long this is going? Lord, may I be giving you my all, my best. Doing the best I can to listen to what you're telling me so I can put it into practice. Lord, help us to heed the warnings of some all year, to not start that progression of sin, because we know we'll be held accountable. But help us to choose in every offering to give you our best, calculated, thoughtful, loving. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Chris is going to lead us in a song. And if that's your decision today, if you want to take 2014 and you want to commit to giving Him your calculated, thoughtful, best and all, do it right here. Make your decision right now. If you want to turn away from doing some this year, go ahead and make that decision right now. And you can solidify it and you can firm it up. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, you're starting 2014 by saying, you know, I'm giving the Lord my all. I'm giving my life to Jesus. I want to follow Him. As Chris leads us in this song, just stand up from your seat and come and say, I'm His follower. I'm His. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you've given your life to Him, but you want to give Him your all in your obedience. So the first step of obedience, you know, He can't use you for anything else until you obey. The first thing He's telling you is to get baptized. And maybe you're holding off on that for some reason. You can't move further. He can't use you for anything else. You've got to take that first step of obedience. Maybe that's it for you. Give Him your best. Give Him your all. You can come when Chris leads us in a song. Maybe it's to join this church. Maybe you're realizing in 2014, you know, I go to churches a lot, but I haven't really given my all. I haven't joined a church and become a member there and an active part. You can do that as Chris leads us in a song. You can join this church. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I haven't been active in Bible study groups. You know, I don't really have that group of 12 where I'm with them as much as possible every week. You know, I come once every 3 weeks or whatever. Maybe you want to give the Lord your all right now. You can walk down the aisle. You can share that if you want. Or you can come and pray at the aisle about it. Or you can pray at your seat. But whatever the Lord's telling you to do, you do it.